Hey guys, welcome back. Hogan, good to see you. Sonny, good to see you as well. How's your week going?
Mine? We'll start. Sure, yeah, I'll start. My week is wonderful. It is very busy. I have a sick baby right now, so that's not wonderful. And he was awake at 4 a.m. So we're struggling, but we're thriving.
All of that sounds less than wonderful.
So it's okay.
I appreciate your sunny attitude, as it were.
Thank you. Hey, I'm just trying to be honest here.
Yeah. Hogan, how about you? What's going on?
Been a good week so far. A lot of travel already. I've had travel for the last several weeks. Went to Fort Worth last week for a work function, and then went to Philadelphia and back for a work function. Actually, it was Morristown.
Morristown, yeah.
So just or north Morristown, of Philly.
Morristown probably is where you
went there and back. Long
so
day.
Hometown, as you may know. Did you take the train?
I did. Well, I took a train to Philly and then Ubered from there.
Yeah. How long is the ride from the 30? You go 30th Street Station, I'm sure. And then
Uber to Morristown. 40 minutes without traffic. With traffic, it was closer to an hour, but no big deal.
Yeah. Good for you.
What about you?
I had a good week. Book is still doing well. Swing Hard in Case You Hit It. Still for sale on Amazon.com. And this is the story of my life in politics, but also my comeback from debilitating alcoholism and addiction to alcohol and everything that goes with that. So I would encourage people to check it out. Swing Hard in Case You Hit It by me. Still doing well on Amazon and everywhere else. And it's been a good week. You know, it's T-ball season. And then my other kid, my older son, is playing what they call coach pitch. Not coach pitch. That's next. He's on machine pitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Which is this? It's not like the standard jugs machine with the wheels that spits the ball out. Maybe if you guys have seen those, this is more like
a
little miniature catapult where it flings the ball. And it's the second season. My number one son, first son, older son is
number one.
Number one is probably not the way the other son wants to hear that.
I know, but that's the phrase. That's why I try to edit myself in real time there. They don't listen to this. Although, I'll tell you what, number one son, I'm going to say that on purpose, did actually request, can I listen to your podcast while we were in the car the other
day? Wow.
You
got to be kidding. You don't want to listen to that. He's 7 years old. He doesn't want to listen to this boring.
That's great.
That's for a 7-year-old. Anyway, he did the machine pitch last year, and he's better at it now. He's probably the second best hitter on his team. Last year, my dad, who was an old baseball player, he said, how's it going? How's the hitting going? And I said, boy, I tell you, I go to all the practices, and that pitching machine, is having a heck of a year.
ERA under one.
Yeah,
under one. I mean, it was working on a perfect spring.
Wow.
Yeah, like giving up. I mean, the kids were not even making. This is last year.
Yeah.
Now the kids are dialed in, and they have the machine's number. Now.
Taking him yard now. Now they're getting up and pointing to the left field.
And like a ball out of the infield is a big deal. And my son and a couple of the other kids have hit balls out of the infield. So
my little brother is in coach pitch right now, and I went to his first game.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And wow. That is it's been a while since I've been to a little kid baseball game. It's a sight to see.
It really is. It's funny.
You know, I saw a viral thing. I know we got to get to the podcast, but just real quick, I saw a viral video of someone who was on first base. Their teammate hit the ball, and he ran to second and stopped to give the kid a hug. And I think they threw it to second, but the guy at second dropped it, and then he ended up throwing it back to first. I think the guy ended up being safe at second anyway. And then it reminded me, when I was a kid, one time I was on first base. I cried mercilessly when I got home. I got to first base. It was T-ball, I think. The guy my teammate hit a ball, and it went straight over the pitcher's mound and landed up against the base on second base. So I got to first base, picked up the ball, hummed it to first, threw him out. I threw my own teammate out at first base.
Oh, Hogan.
Hogan.
Hey, man, get to the bag, homeboy.
You got to hustle.
Don't be lollygagging around. I'm doing my job out here.
Enforce the rules whether you're on his team or not.
That's right.
Thank you.
Teach valuable lessons here.
I thought it was my fault all these many years. And I think about it now. I'm like, no, what's his responsibility? Get to the bag.
Well, how about doesn't the defense bear some responsibility to throw the runner out themselves? Why you got to help them do it?
Well, hey, look, I can't. It's like me playing quarterback and cornerback at the same time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Anyway, whatever.
I just can't get good teammates anymore. That's the real problem.
I hear you.
That's truly what it is.
All right. Well, on that note, let's get to it because this is the Line Drive Podcast. All right, so the Trump trial in New York is still ongoing, and you know, there's stuff that's happening in the courtroom every day. What's your read on all this, Hogan? How is this breaking politically in a political sense as the trial goes on?
You mean which trial are we talking about?
The New York, the Alvin Bragg trial that's going on in Manhattan right now.
Yeah, interestingly enough, what I've heard a lot of the legal experts point to is, not only would this crime be a misdemeanor for whatever, you know, the category is, but a lot of legal experts are saying they told us they had a crime here. There's no crime implicated. They're talking about conspiracy, but they didn't charge him with conspiracy. They're talking about something he did to win the election, but the payment came after the election. Also, payments like this in business, in politics, in corporate America, whatever, happen all the time. They're not illegal. Mm-hmm. So I'm just confused at the whole thing. I think there needs to be a consistent drumbeat and message, not just on the weaponization of a judicial system that is clearly targeting someone they disagree with politically. But I think we need to point to a couple of, you know, points in this case that don't make any sense. And you know, there's a long time between now and November. And it's like one day you hear something and the Trump people are really high. They're like, oh, this is great. And then the next day, an attorney makes an argument and then the media jumps on that, how good that argument was. And the Trump team's really, you know, down. I think the merits of the cases in every instance, first of all, could have been brought years ago, if not decades ago in some cases. And why we're just doing it now is awfully convenient, considering not only is he the chief political rival of the sitting president, not only is he the nominee for the Republican Party, but he's also leading in the polls. Mm-hmm. So that leads me to a poll I saw recently, which basically says 70% of the American people believe these are politically motivated, because they are. It's so obvious.
I think it's just apparent on its face that it's politically motivated, just because of the time.
To us.
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy, it's been 4 years now, and now they're dragging him into court, you know, less than 7 months before the next election. Sonny, let me play this tape for you. This is, I believe this is from today, this very morning, and you are currently, we should say, for the interest of full disclosure, currently working on the Trump campaign. But here is an impromptu stop, unplanned stop, outside a construction site in Manhattan this very day as Trump is on his way to court.
USA! 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 USA!
That's pretty amazing. Now, I'm not going to claim that Trump is going to carry Manhattan. 80-90% Democrat. But these are union workers. You know, the union leadership, generally speaking, endorses Democrats. But the rank and file, like we saw in 2016 and 2020, the rank and file are with Trump. And this has to be uplifting for him as he's headed into another day of court, of sitting there, you know, watching everybody play politics with his life and do it for political reasons, you know. What's your reaction? What's your takeaway when you see stuff like that from working people?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. I'm glad you played that video because I believe this was at 6:15 this morning. Could have been even earlier than that. And there are hundreds of people there to support the president. Meanwhile, I'm certain that Joe Biden was not awake at this hour, and he definitely wasn't working at 6 o'clock in the morning. But
or 6 p.m. for that matter.
So true. I mean, we've seen this, all of these court filings try to hamstring the president from campaigning. It's clear election interference, but the campaign and him, they've done such a creative way of going around that and continuing to campaign in the face of all of these just completely ridiculous trials and how he's having to spend his day in the courtroom. But yes, like you were talking about with the union, Bob Bartels, who is the COO of one of the unions that was there represented, he was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about how I believe he said that he took a vote with his union yesterday, and it was 3-1 in favor of President Trump over Joe Biden, which it's kind of, you know,
that's the number. Out of his 9,000 members, the vote was 3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just amazing to be in New York, to have that kind of success going forward. I don't know what it was in 2020, if we can compare it right now, but the president is gaining so much momentum with these workers because they see how horrible everything is right now in their life. Not good. The first quarter GDP came out today. Not good. Everything is just spiraling out of control, and it's making the president's poll numbers shoot up.
Yeah. He said, we're tired of immigration. We're tired of our tax dollars going to immigration. We're tired of the crime. We need to put a handle back on things in this country. Great quote by that union leader. No question.
Mm-hmm. That's from the union guy.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. In Manhattan, New York City, New York State, USA. That's great. I mean, the Trump campaign couldn't ask for anything better.
He also is a lifelong Democrat. Yeah.
Well,
lifelong Democrat.
If he's an elected union leader,
mm-hmm.
that would track, right? So,
interesting to note, he also worked for Donald Trump, I think, in the 80s, building a skate rink.
Yes.
That was the big, the Central
the
Park
famed
skate
rink.
That was a big deal. That was featured.
Yep.
I don't know if either one of you read Maggie Haberman's book, but the old skating rink thing was a big deal.
Can't say I did.
So that's what Trump is dealing with and will be dealing with for a little while now as that trial is ongoing. But meanwhile, Biden has his hands full with a little bit of a sticky situation as well. I'm sure you guys are well familiar with what's going on a variety of college campuses around the country, where you have pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist students commandeering and the sort of, you know, taking over college campuses and the Quad and all that stuff and putting up Tent City and all that stuff. These are the most fortunate and privileged people, probably to, if you think about it this way, probably the most fortunate and privileged people to ever walk the face of this planet. These are children who are students at elite American universities, Ivy League schools and the like, Cal Berkeley, NYU, and others outside the Ivy League, but of the same caliber, really, and the same ideological prevalencies. These people have won life's lottery. They're being educated at the finest schools in the world. And what they do is they erect themselves a little tent city there and decide to take up the cause of the terrorists who are killing Israeli citizens on the other side of the planet. This is what is going on here. That last one there was burn Tel Aviv to the ground. That's a call for genocide. There's no other way to look at that. These are Democrats. These are college kids, but this is the base of the Democrat Party. This is the far left. This is what Joe Biden is dealing with. Now, this puts Joe Biden in a pretty awkward spot, but only because he's a Democrat and only because he's Joe Biden. What you have here is a situation where it seems like the right thing to do is obvious. The right thing to do is to stand up for Israel, to stand up for Jewish students at these schools who are in physical peril because of all these pro-Hamas sympathizers rampaging around their campuses. Joe Biden doesn't know what to do. It would be an easy thing for most people, but he doesn't know what to do. And why? So this is what you're not allowed to both sides anything, right? Not allowed to say that anymore. Not allowed to praise people on one side, but also say, hey, these other people have a point. Not allowed to do that. The media doesn't like it. But that's exactly what Joe Biden did. Check out this answer.
And the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being...
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
There you go. So Biden's official position is that he agrees with both Jewish students and also the pro-Hamas sympathizers. He agrees with everybody and he condemns everybody. Do I have that about right?
This is all so disgusting. Okay, let's unpack this a little bit here. First of all, it's not Joe Biden's both sides moment, because there is no both sides moment from Donald Trump. That's been debunked up one side and down the other. So that doesn't even exist. Joe Biden is doing, again, the thing he's accusing of everybody else of doing. He's actually doing it, okay? He's saying both these people have pretty good points. Well, the point the other side is making, the pro-Hamas crowd is making, is burn Tel Aviv to the ground. Death and destruction of the Jews and destroying the West. Yeah. It just seems to me interesting that for whatever reason, on a college campus, and rightly so, you cannot disparage Asians, Black people, Hispanics. If they did this same chant, but substituted a word, a town in Mexico, or you know, a word or a town somewhere in Asia, these people would be kicked off of campus immediately. There'd be all kinds of inquiries. The DOJ would be there. The college would do all types of self-reflective struggle sessions where you can't say this, you can't do this. They'd hold vigils, the whole thing. Why is it just this one little carve-out where it's okay to be anti-Semitic? It's okay to go after Jewish students. It makes no sense. And I'll give kudos here to President Trump, who came out very forcefully, very obviously, and said, this has to stop. It wouldn't have happened under my watch. Never would have happened. He's right. It would not have happened. The difference here with Joe Biden is he's trying to win Dearborn, Michigan. He's trying to placate young people and pander to young people so that he can win an election. So he's a little bit nervous on what to do, not to mention the fact a large contingent of the Democrat Party does some more support Hamas. It is obvious. So he's got a lot of problems here, but a lot of them are of his own making.
Well, at that same Earth Day event with that clip that you just showed, I believe that's where that was, AOC came out and said that, they're peaceful protests. So it's fine for this to happen. But, you know, this makes me think about in World War II, when everything was happening with, Hitler, the genocide of the Jews, I thought about this so many times. How did we as America, we knew this was going on and we allowed it, for better sake of the word, until, you know, towards the end of the war. How did this happen? You think, how did Hitler get away with killing millions and millions of Jews? And now in 2024, we have in the United States of America, groups of people blatantly shouting, calling for the genocide of Jews. And it's being allowed. It's being covered nonstop by the media. And, you know, regardless of if the media is talking about, oh, you know what, this is bad, they're still giving them attention. Negative attention is still attention. And they're gonna keep doing it. And one other thing that I want to comment on, a lot of these colleges and institutions have said, well, if you don't feel safe going to class, then you can have the option to do virtual learning. You can do virtual class. Why? Why should the Jewish population have to take a hit on their education? Why should they have to be the ones to suffer because you have a group of psychos calling for their death and destruction?
Also, is the Biden administration paying for these kids' tuition before or after they chant death to America?
Yeah, exactly.
When does the loan get from,
The visa should be revoked immediately. They should send back to their home countries. And if we are paying for their education, that should obviously stop immediately.
I mean, it's Sunny. It's pretty striking the way you set it up. So this is rampant anti-Semitism that is being allowed to flourish and grow and be and just take hold on college campuses, and I would say in communities outside of college campuses around the country. Dearborn, Michigan is one that Hogan just mentioned. But it's worse than that, because that clip that you just saw of Joe Biden, here you have the President of the United States, when asked directly if he cares to condemn these anti-Semitic protests that are going on all across this country, he shrugs and goes, yeah, sure, I condemn that. But you know what? The other guys have a point, too, and I need people to understand what they're talking about. I mean, that's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, and it's a cowardly response. Because what Biden and more like his team, but what Biden and his team are trying to do is figure out what is politically better. Do we support Israel? Do we support the terrorists? Do we support both? Or do we support neither? They're trying to figure out. The morally correct thing to do is obvious on its face. You support Israel, and you tell these pro-Hamas protesters to get out of the college square or be arrested and kicked out of school. That's the obvious moral thing. But he can't do it because he's worried about 15 electoral votes that the state of Michigan carries with it come election time. And because Dearborn has this high population, the highest population of pro-Hamas voters, and he wants their support, that is what needs to be described. Joe Biden is afraid to offend the people who sympathize with the terrorists who want to destroy Israel and kill all Jews. That's who Biden is afraid of offending. That's it's outrageous. It's outrageous. He should be getting destroyed for this. Destroyed.
This is exactly what you get from a career politician. He has been in office since my parents were born, people, like a long time, okay? He's a career politician who is just going to try to...
Wait. How old are your parents?
Was he not elected to Senate in 1974?
Right, I know, but are your parents older? Never mind. You're just really how old your parents are. That's ancient history, according to you. I would just like to point out that I believe that I am older than both of your parents. I believe.
Okay, Tim, you understand where I'm going here with my point of he has been in office for a long time. He knows how to play to both sides. But what you're talking about with his, you know, really no morals here. He's not standing up for what is actually, like we talked about last week, Tim, with what is truth. He's not standing up for what is morally correct. And I would like to equate this to his speech yesterday, I believe in Florida, when he was at some pro-abortion rally talking about how horrible Florida's abortion laws are. And they prayed before this event. And he and his Catholic self did the sign of the cross at a pro-abortion rally. You want to talk about trying to play to both sides, two things that cannot be happening at the same time. These things do not go together. Right. And that's what the Democratic Party is.
That crossing himself when he was at the pro-abortion event. Most Catholics, and I'm speaking from personal experience here, if you say something to a Catholic that is, you know, and usually this is in sort of a joking manner, that is somehow like threatening, or it might have to do with some evil, like some evil doing, or some like the, you know, a Catholic might cross himself just to say, oh, God forbid, hope that doesn't happen to me, or whatever. It's mostly in a lighthearted manner, right? So what they're talking about there was the idea that abortion would be outlawed, and Biden crosses himself as if to say, God forbid. When he's talking about abortion, he's using the Catholic crossing himself to ward off the possibility that we might not want to kill babies. Oh, God forbid we don't kill babies. How offensive is that? Have that wrong?
Nope. Hogan, you're on mute.
No, sorry. I just, because I was sitting here screaming. No. The thought that Joe Biden is quote unquote a devout Catholic in any sense of the word is so stupid. He does not adhere to a lot of the Catholic teachings. In fact, a liberal bishop, two of them, on air here in Washington, D.C. on a Sunday show, pointed to the fact that Joe Biden is a cafeteria Catholic, meaning he picks and chooses from the buffet the items he likes, but refuses to taste the ones, choose the ones he doesn't like. And it's just so obvious to anyone from the outside looking in. I don't want to get into a whole thing about his faith here, but you want to believe that it's okay to kill babies? That's your belief. But don't come to me in the next breath and talk about your bona fides as a Catholic. That is clearly against the teachings of the Catholic Church. Whether you agree with that or not, You can't have that both ways.
No, you can't.
It's very frustrating.
The media will try, if anybody notices this part of this conversation, the media will say, oh, you can't question Joe Biden's faith. That's very personal to him. It makes him who he is. You cannot hide behind something while you constantly violate this alleged belief that you so deeply hold.
one of the biggest tenets of it.
When you poke holes in it yourself all the time.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the people that are saying this, that say, oh, you can't question it, they don't know anything about the Bible and its teachings. I'm not Catholic, so I don't actually know all of what Catholicism teaches, but I do know that being pro-life is one of the very strongest tenets of being Catholic. The Catholic population are usually the most pro-life groups out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, you cannot claim to be so pro-Catholic and then turn around and talk about how pro-choice you are and how horrible it is that Florida's abortion laws are just so restrictive. No, does not work. Yeah. Does not go together.
Well, I don't know how we got down there talking about abortion again.
I brought it up, if you can't imagine.
It's all because of, yes, I think somewhere along the way, I think Sonny brought it up. But it goes to the hypocrisy again of Joe Biden. And I'm gonna show this graphic here, and I want to say something that I thought of a minute ago, but I don't know if it's too controversial. But then I decided I'm gonna say it again. You touched on the fact, Sonny, that at some of these colleges, Columbia, I think the one which is approaching $100,000 a year in cost, which is tuition and room and board combined, almost $100,000 per year. They're now going into virtual learning, online classes, because of the leftist hooligans who have taken control of campus. It's not safe for Jews to go to class. But think about that. It's not safe for Jewish students at Columbia University to go to class because the administration of that school is letting the violent leftists control the campus. It's crazy. So could you not draw a parallel? I mean, when Anne Frank and her family had to go into hiding, and Anne Frank was hiding in the walls and deep recesses and secret compartments of that house in Nazi Germany, couldn't you say that she was forced into virtual learning because to be out in public was not safe for her? That's exactly what's happening at Columbia University. They're sending the Jews into hiding. Honestly, how is that different from what happened to Anne Frank? Seriously.
It's also a private university. Like, come on. Get your act together. Protect your students. And you got to stop it. Like, it's so obvious and fundamental to the rights we have as Americans, but also the right you have as a paying student to a college or university to take advantage of the education that institution provides. You're paying for it. How can you say, all right, look, we'll let it continue, and all those who they're protesting, you Jewish people, just go home and learn from there. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. It's absolutely offensive. And the more people come out and talk about it, the more you get to see where they stand on the issue, because it's pretty cut and dry, right? It's pretty simple. And to try and mealy-mouth it or play both sides like Joe Biden is doing is really, really awful. Remember the meme when the rockets or the drones are actually going into Israel from Iran, and they basically had a split screen and said, somehow we're paying for these missiles and somehow we're paying for these missiles at the same time. Yeah. It's so bad. But anyway.
Can I comment?
Yeah, go, Sonny.
One thing just that I've seen on social media and stuff is, there's a fine line between, oh, it's your First Amendment right to go and protest, let your voices be heard. If you disagree with something, that's fine. These are downright threats.
Sure.
Threats and calling, calling for murder and genocide of a certain group of people.
Right.
Not the same thing.
What's astounding here is that the president of the United States looks at what's going on these college campuses, sees the anti-Semitic remarks, sees the chants that are calling for the death of Jews and the destruction of Israel, sees all of this. And what runs through his mind is the thought, boy, I sure hope this doesn't cost me Michigan. That's what he's concerned about. He had a choice.
Yep.
Either forcefully denounce the seething anti-Jewish hatred that is bubbling up from inside his own political party, either forcefully denounce that or look the other way because he's concerned about his own reelection chances. Now, which one do you think he took? Which one did he choose? He's choosing to look the other way.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful.
Yep. It's
true.
Unbelievable. And so I want to show this last thing. Since we're coming up on 30 minutes here. This is an electoral map based on a brand new morning consult series of state polls. This is the way the, and if you're listening on audio, I will tell you that it's a map that shows a lot of red and some blue, basically on the coasts, the northeast and west coast. 270 electoral votes needed to win, of course, in 2024, capture the presidency. This morning consult poll at this moment projects Donald Trump out to 297 electoral college votes, so 27 more than needed, more than required to win. This is where, according to Morning Consult, the race stands at the moment. What, Hogan, what jumps out at you on this map? There's a couple of swing states here that Biden won the last time that are currently shaded, if not red, then pink.
Yeah. What it says to me, obviously, is that Donald Trump is running a campaign here based on the issues. And even when he's in court, he steps to the microphone and talks about the problems that Joe Biden has created in this country. The American people now have uniquely seen two presidents and their records. This isn't a governor saying, if you elect me, I promise I'll. If it's not a senator saying, hey, put me in that office and I'm sure that I will do X. These are two former presidents, or a former president, a sitting president, saying, here are our records side by side. There is no wonder that Joe Biden is talking about abortion and threats to democracy. He can't point to a single thing that is better in our life today than it was when he took over, because he's made everything worse. He looks like a shell of a man. His cognitive decline, his physical decline is obvious to anyone watching him. And it is offensive for the White House to come out and say, no, no, American people, you're stupid. I'm just telling you, listen, you really are paying less for gas. You really are paying less for groceries. No, I promise the world's not on fire. No, I promise crime is low. No, no, you don't understand. The southern border is closed. Trying to tell people something that isn't happening when they feel it in their own lives, it's not just wrong and offensive. It's stupid politically. And they're falling into that because they don't have anything else to point to.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bad strategy because people will figure it out as soon as you lie to them. You're like, well, that's not what's happening in my life. They know that it's wrong right away. Sonny, what?
Oh, nothing. I think Hogan hit everything there. All areas. He's exactly right. Now with this election, both candidates have a record to run on. And I think, you know, obviously President Trump's going to come out on top. But as Hogan mentioned, abortion, the Biden campaign is really heavily leaning into this. Like, this is going to be their winning message. I don't think you win an entire presidency based on abortion alone. I don't think that's really going to persuade male voters. Female voters, maybe, but you're not going to win an entire election based on abortion alone.
No, yep. And you know, they're trying to. He's running a campaign as though voters are not already familiar with both of them.
Right.
Like Hogan just said, and we've talked about this before, people have lived through both presidencies now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be as old and decrepit as my parent, as me or your parents.
Oh my gosh.
In order to be able to figure this out.
That's but great.
The electoral map. Here, according to Morning Consult, anyway, you got Nevada and Arizona, both Biden states last time, pink. You have Georgia, obviously a razor-thin Biden state, pink. North Carolina, good Republican state, pink. Wisconsin as pink. Pennsylvania as pink. You know, if these things hold out, it's not even going to be close, really. 297 for Trump. It's early yet, but, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And if Biden thought that he was going to be able to ride abortion into some kind of electoral success, it has not happened yet. I will say that. So I think we lost Hogan.
We have. Before we wrap, I would like to publicly apologize to my parents and to you, Tim. I meant no disrespect there. The slight was towards Joe Biden, not you. I would never.
Okay. So Joe Biden is so monumentally old that he's been holding office since before your parents were born.
I think it's the same year they were born, actually.
I was born before he was elected to office. Then I see what you
mean. Okay, I regret to have even drawn the parallel there.
That's perfectly fine. Don't worry about it. We can pick up this thread next time. For Hogan Gidley, who's no longer with us, Sonny, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Good to see you. I'm Tim Murtaugh, and this is the Line Drive Podcast.